TheUnheardNerd.com.
Welcome to Word to the Nerd, the interview podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. I am Will, and you can find me on Twitter at TheUnheardNerd. This time around, I'm joined by Beefy, and we discuss growing up, his past, present, and future. Also, we discuss Shale Riley, Doc Pop, and any number of other nerdcore people that we love. Enjoy the show. This is Beefy.
Word to the nerd, coming through the speakers from the one you never heard. A brand new show you don't want to miss, because you never heard a nerd with a style like this. Nerdcore, hip hop, 8-bit, pop rock. It's our culture on the rise and it won't stop. Podcast drop, best day of the week, because the unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak.
I get asked the same question from people trying to force me to defend my opinion about who is nerdcore, or maybe who isn't. So I bought me this office and I opened up my business. All signs are pointing that I won't go broke, cause these people keep calling about the words that I wrote. Got operators on the line every hour of the day, in the script, in their cubicle, it tells them what to say.
Sure, man, I'm maybe what you're sharing his thoughts, which he does from time to time on each of his blogs. And doctors say it's best taken with a grain of salt. He was born opinionated, it ain't anybody's fault. And if you'd like, I'll connect you with him.
Joining me on the show this time is none other than Beefy, all the way from the moon. 8 hours time difference. Where the hell do you live?
I live on the moon. It's nice. It's quiet, though. I feel isolated. Come on.
But seriously, I mean, 8 hours difference. That's got to be way out west. You're in the United States, yeah?
I am the U.S. proper, and I am in Washington State on the very west. I'm not in the farthest left-hand corner on any... you know, map you've ever seen in the of our country.
Right, so up Seattle way?
Yeah, I'm up in that direction, except within our state, there's a very even split between these mountains that go through the Cascades. So everyone on the left-hand side of it by the coast is all Seattle, and that's very metropolitan. It's very boom. We're out in the country on the east side of it, so it's very bumpkin. It's very farmy, lots of farms, so much farm. But so, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm from Seattle. I'm from that state, but I mean, I'm not really Seattle because it's like a 5-hour drive from where I'm at.
Right. And my introduction to you as an artist, really, as a nerdcore artist, is that you are the definition of a fan turned rapper. Would that be a fair thing to say?
112%.
So how did that happen? When did you first come across nerdcore hip hop?
So I first came across nerdcore in high school because of C-Lab 2021 on the Adult Swim Network. Or I don't know if it was Adult Swim Network then. But so cartoon MC Chris was on it. He they played Fetz Vet at the end of one of the episodes. And then they were dancing in it. And it was fun. And I didn't realize he was an artist. I didn't realize that was an entire song. I just thought it was that bit they did for the show. So I'm in my computer class and I'm singing that song because I think it's catchy. Dude comes up and is just like, oh my god, you're into MC Chris? And I'm like, I'm sorry, who now? What? No, I like C-Lab 2021, sir. I am a fan of cartoons. He said, oh, well, I thought you were a fan of that guy because he makes a song. And then so that led to a bunch of Kazaa and Morpheus searches, because that was the era, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So I found a bunch of his stuff that, you know, his stuff that he had. I mean, I don't know what album that was all on, but Edie's Not Cheating or something like that. But yeah. So I got real into it. I went to my first nerdcore show that he did in Spokane, one of his early tours before he started going global and shit. And now he doesn't come to Spokane ever, of course, now that I live here. But yeah, so MC Chris was big influence on the whole nerdcore part. And then that got me into, because I was trying to make hip-hop songs for a little while and since middle school, but my influences there were, like, really not speaking to anything I was familiar with. So anything I wrote was just like, I'm just going to copy this guy, and this sounds like maybe I could, no. If I was ghostwriting it, maybe.
So but, who did you grow up listening to? Who were you? Who are your influences?
My influences, ironically enough, are I spent a lot of time listening to these Cash Money record people and all the Dirty South, like Master P, Lil Wayne, but early Lil Wayne, the Hot Boys, Lil Wayne and Juvenile, and just all these southern rappers, because that was like so huge when I was going, like the people, and there was like songs like Bling Bling and just repeated Manny Fresh style beats, and just it was so popular in the day, and I like that made me want to. I think it was because it seemed so easy. I hung out with a lot of band nerds, and they're all talking about these concerts they're doing and how this person playing drums can transition to making rock stuff, and they're being so creative, and I wanted to make music so bad, but I don't have any talent for real. So I thought, these guys don't either. I could do what they do. And, you know, obviously it's not hard. I've heard the same 15 songs over and over again, and I loved it. Like, I ate it up. I don't know why. But it's farthest away from anything close to what I grew up with. But I think Whitey Cracker's the same way. We talked about it. He loved those guys too growing up, and he was from, you know, Colorado Springs. So, I mean, it's just it's a weird influence I had on white people at the time, I guess. But yeah, that was how I got influenced in the first place. And then that thankfully led to MC Chris stuff and realizing I can make songs about being whites again and make it funny and stuff. And then it just snowballed.
Yeah. And what's your first nerdcore song that you recorded?
I don't know. It didn't really have nerdcore as the branding at the time. I made a song called Whites Again. It was like my very first song. And I made a video for it. And then I made one for a song about liking your best friend's sister. And I made a little cartoon for that called David's Sister, about my real life friend David, who's the one, oddly enough, that introduced me to MC Chris in the first place. He's the guy that was like, oh, you like MC Chris? And I was like, yeah, let me make a song about your hot sister. So I'm rude. I've been rude for a while, I guess. I didn't realize until now. But yeah, so.
And what sort of age were you when you first discovered nerdcore?
When I discovered nerdcore, I was, I was a sophomore in high school. So that was like perfect time for it, I think.
Give me a clue, because sophomore doesn't really translate over here.
So sorry. My third year of secondary school or high school. I don't know what you guys do for.
Yeah, either.
I was like 15. I was like 6. I was 16 or 17, because I just got my first car, a little Volkswagen Rabbit, 1982, color champagne.
Nice.
And rust. But I would just roll through there. Had a little. It was literally called a Frankfurter radio system, and it was the piece of shit. But I was able to jerry-rig it to a CD thing, and was able to play MC Chris songs in a Volkswagen Rabbit up and down Pasco, Washington.
That's pimping.
That's so pimping. I was the most pimping. I was like, you like that hatchback, don't you, ladies? And they said no. They emphatically said no. I impressed other guys like me, like, oh my god, that's so cool. And I was like, I know, right? High fives, everyone.
Enough at work, I wanna kick it lazy Sunday style. Arcade full of cabinets, I gotta say I'm versatile. Street Fighter, that's my game. Don't wanna face me 80, yo, embarrass you and beat you with a tiny Chinese lady.
Please, your abilities just won't compare. This guy'll get major, opponents running scared.
But I'm too quick in disguise, so you won't go up there.
You think it's only you throwing people from the air? Quick, stick and move, like the broom, collar two, skin of steel, top of you, Dr. Doom, Sonic Boom.
Give me room, got right you, throwing fire like a dragon, dude. Fing Van Foom, watch your fume, what you think you gonna.
Okay, rolling through, for every man I got a plan, so you still can't beat me, give it all you can.
Whatever, man, I'm not even feeling hot today, let's go land F this game, don't like that version anyway.
The conflict begins on the screen.
Press start.
Tactics and skill on the theme.
Press start.
Two players enter, one player leaves, the outcome remains to be seen.
Press start.
Now it's time to even up the score.
Press start.
Beefy combined with dual core.
Press start.
A rematch, forget it, I'm all out of credits.
Okay,
one more.
Press start.
So at what point did you put your first songs out onto the internet to be heard, and what kind of reaction did you get?
Okay, so I think it was 2005 when I did the Whites Again EP, because I thought, I heard Eminem had an EP, one of his first albums, might as well do the same thing. I'm white, so but I was Whites Again, so that was my twist, so I had to make sure I put that right on there for some reason. So put that out in 2005, and I think I did Nerd like shortly after. It was another EP of just a few songs, and a lot of them really bad and rough, and really just things I mixed together, not knowing anything about how to mix or anything. So really, they're just a collection of really rough songs that, you know, I've just, now I've, for some of them, I performed like 1,000 times, it feels like. But they're just a bunch of rough tracks, and I put them out in MC Chris's message board. I wasn't like super active, but I lurked it a lot. And I wanted, you know, because MC Chris, he's like my idol at this point. And at this point, you know, I've heard of some of the other guys, but I'm not really aware of it yet, because Brian Torrance hasn't happened yet, and Hi-C and this Nerdcore for Life movie hasn't happened yet. Mm. So I'm still kind of vague on who everyone is, or I don't know the scene yet. It doesn't have a name yet, as far as I know. And then, because I haven't really heard front a lot of Nerdcore Rising. So I put it on MC Chris's form, and the first person to really give me any kind of feedback at all was Shale Riley. And he, you know, let me know, like, hey, we're like this, like that. And he's like, I really like this creative writing song, and I think it really speaks to me. I went to English major, blah, blah, blah. We just, you know, that started some kind of, like, some emails back and forth, and he showed me his music. And obviously, Shale's been talented for years and years, and even at this point, like, I wasn't familiar with half of his stuff, and a lot of it is, you know, video game remix stuff, and he has this alter ego called This Mask of Smoke a Bitch, and he has this whole other, like, world of music that he's been doing since he was a kid, and I'm just like, really, these are my first few songs. But he was saying, you know, you got potential in this, and da-da-da, and I started snowballing, and I'm still, like, you know, fanboy about Shale, too, and we've been friends now since I started this thing.
Yeah, we'll touch on Shale again a little bit later on when we discuss Grammar Club.
I try to touch on Shale as frequently as possible.
But it's interesting you mentioned the creative process song. You've a fan, a huge fan, and friend of yours, Brian Kissel.
Ah.
And Beaker, that's right, Beaker Sullivan.
That son of a bitch.
Obviously, put some put a question out on the Facebook forum for the Nerdcore Facebook fan group, whatever it's called. And Brian, he's not really asked a question. He's made two statements. The first statement is,
sounds about right,
I love him. No questions, just statement.
Good.
And secondly, your creative process is the best song ever in the history of Nerdcore. do you agree with that? Or would you cite any other Nerdcore tracks over your own?
Well, in regards to the first statement, I love you too. And in regards to the second statement, that is incorrect. I don't know what the best Nerdcore song is, though. Like, that's too, I mean, I have a bunch of favorites. There's a Mega Ran song I could play at any moment that will make me happy, and I'll just start feeling it, and I'll get pumped up for anything. Yeah. But there's times when I want to be chilled out, and I want to listen to, you know, Weed is by my side, it's always been there. Sometimes that's what I want, and I want some MC Chris melody. But, you know, and then there's times I just want to rap in the car for a half hour and you know, drive to go somewhere, we're heading somewhere else, and I can listen to Optimus Rhyme like literally at any moment, at any time. So
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely adore Optimus Rhyme. It's interesting you mentioned being in the car, because I have a mixtape that I made years and years and years ago, a Nerdcore mixtape that I keep in my car at all times.
Oh, word.
And the second track on it, after I think Kabuto the Python's Nerdcore versus regular hip-hop as an intro, the second track on it is 1-800-NERDCORE.
Oh, baby.
So for literally years, I've been driving around listening to your music in my car.
I'm so sorry I did that to you. but I squandered that beat so bad. I had Bad Spella working for me, and that was still like one of my first kind of songs. I feel so bad about it now.
Wait, could you not revisit it?
Oh, there's some plans for revisiting. I have some things that I want to do, but I feel like I squandered it, because he was so generous, and he was just like, hey, I like to work with you, I liked your idea of this, blah, blah, blah. And I had the concept I had in my head was cool, but I feel like I didn't execute as well as I could have. But that was so good. That was one of the songs that got me all, like, hyped up for a little bit. It was so dope.
Yeah, I mean, I love the track. I still listen to that mixtape, still pop the CD in the car. Still have it as a compilation on my iPod. Yeah, I still listen to it all the time. How do you feel when you, like, hear, you know, people 8 hours time difference away are driving around listening to your music?
It bewilders me, because I mean, but I can never, I can't hear my own music, and I you know, it's all critical. Like, I think of every condition I was under while recording it, and how I lazed out of this thing, or I could have done this better, or oh, since then I've learned this or that. or how I should have layered this, that, or the other better, or whatever the case may be. And I'm so anally critical. I can't listen to my stuff around other people. I can perform it because it's there, it's in the moment, it's live. But here's what I did when I was, 21. Here's what I did when I was 18 or 19. And let's listen to it now under these circumstances with my life now. I can't do it. But I can go back and listen to any old MC Chris. I can listen to Fetz Vet anytime. I can listen to Old Friend a lot. I can listen to just old Optimus Prime, obviously. I can listen to all these older songs and feel the same way that I do about them now that I did when I first heard them.
Throw up your hands if you like this music. Podcasting DJs, feel free to use it. Gotta whore myself just to get my next gig. Yo, this is my life, baby. Nerdcore for life. Throw up your hands if you like this music. Podcasting DJs, feel free to use it. Gotta whore myself just to get my next gig. Yo, this is my life, baby. Nerdcore for life. Life sucks. Just continuous disappointments, and it won't get no better with sobs, screams, or ointments. Just the kind of thing that's gonna fester and peel until the point you wanna drink until you cannot feel. Always we are judged by how we're seen by our peers. One would think that it would dull with all the gaining of years. Yeah, right. Another misconception of life. If you want change to happen, make it happen tonight. Feel free to pick on me cause I'm a virgin and a fatty, or how my mommy is no longer with my daddy. Really wanna have at me? You better stab me, cause I could only be more macho if my name was Randy. I'm savage this year, I will ravage your gear till the feds ask your mom if some grizzlies were here. I know you remixers wanna sample this here, cause DJ Sander mixes shit that pleases the ear. Yo.
And it was really weird growing up with my first roommates were both fans of nerdcore, and I'd known them since there was no nerdcore. I'd known them since before I was a rapper in high school and stuff, and we roommated, and they want to hear my music. They want to listen because it's on their same mixtape as, Futuristic Sex Robots and just a bunch of, MC++ was really big for them for a little bit, or I can't remember which one. But so they were super into it. So we'd be bumping it throughout the house, and it'd feel good. And then all of a sudden, one of my stupid songs would come on or something dumb, and I'd be like, guys, be cool. Come on.
Yeah, but I think you're there comfortably with, you're comfortably with the genre. You're involved. You're out there with anyone, I would say. And proof in the pudding is that you've performed with some of the biggest names in the genre. So you've been on albums with MC Front a lot. I mean, exactly. So I mean, I would say.
I'm perpetually like nerdcore's little brother, I've been told. Everyone knows me. Everyone has a fond regard for me. Maybe they don't want to return my calls if I call right away. I don't know. I don't know if I bug them, but it's like, oh, if I'm in the Northwest at all, I gotta get bugged by Beefy at some point. Or maybe I don't know if that was the impression of me before. But
no, I don't know. I mean, funny you say that you're Nerdcore's little brother, because in a strange way, having never really known you in any way other than online, it feels like you grew up in Nerdcore.
Yeah.
Do you know, I mean, we followed your progress from being a fan to being a legitimate artist, you're releasing albums and EPs and just like getting better and better and better as you've gone on. So it's kind of weird to have that view looking from the outside in. It must be weirder for you being under that scrutiny.
It's like a really long, really underwatched globally reality show that we're all experiencing in real time. with a lot of like delays and hiatuses between seasons.
It's true. And so 1-800 Nerdcore was from was it second full length release or first full length?
I think it was my first. I think it was Tube Technology.
Yes, Tube Technology. Was that the first full length?
That was the first full length. What would consider a studio album, I guess.
Yeah, because I mean, really, that's my starting point with your music. Right. I kind of, I'll be honest, missed with Sprinkles.
Wrong. Mistake. Okay. Don't worry, I'll get you a link. Don't you worry about that.
Well, it's up there on beefy.bandcamp.com.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, an enjoyable album, and you've got Cheryl Riley on there, and right. And also the MC who just will never disappear from the genre, despite having an active role in it for some time. MC Router, or Router.
MC Router. It would be Router over here. She would go at great lengths to disparage anyone who would say MC Router.
Yeah.
Although when you start hanging out after a while, we would say Router, and that would be her. That was her nickname for a good long time.
So just to clarify, I don't want to linger on Router for too long, but a current status of relationships, getting along, not getting along.
Me and Router, I don't speak with Router. I had a long history with her as like my cohort, and like, it really kind of led me down some interesting paths, maybe some paths that would not have otherwise been available to me if it wasn't for the attachment of MC Router. But she's an interesting character that are just, I learned that I need to be around more responsible people from time to time, and people who have less just blind hatred immediately towards things, because I'm more of like a passive guy. Like, I'm a teddy bear, if I could say so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about, like, I'll talk some shit online early in this career, if we call it, and a lot of that just influenced by the fact that, you know, I'm a kid on the internet, first of all, just anonymous. But and then Router kind of fuels all that. And then early on, I saw her getting picked on, so I wanted to swoop in because she was super friendly to me, and she actually was a female that was making hip hop, and I wanted to not only encourage it, but I wanted to, like, you know, I want to do songs with her because she's cool. And didn't hurt that her producer Tanner was incredible, and he did some things on her music that compensated for what I and some other people thought for a lack of skill of actually rapping. But I mean, after a while, she kind of cultivated that into her own style, which was kind of interesting and cool. But I thought it would be a great opportunity to work with some people, introduce myself to other people, because other people I'd met had been nice, like Shell and stuff. But some of the Florida people at the time, like, you know, Benjamin Bear and Rection at the time, you know, we just butted heads right away. So it was easy to kind of start these flame wars that have become now a tradition in nerdcore. Now it's expected.
Right.
And I feel bad for helping create that tradition. I think anyway.
Inside peanut butter, outside jelly. Got so much money that I've diamonds in my belly. You know that Triforce rolls with money than the band? And we're a lot richer than the Microsoft man. With all the money we make on the daily, we can afford level 1 tin melee. You know I have a Halo suit hanging in my closet. Spends over $1,000, but it's chunk change in my pocket. I got a locket that I gave to Doc Pop. Nerds engraved in gold, and it costs quite a lot. My PayPal account is flooded with the dimes, but it keeps on growing because I'm fucking spitting rhymes. You know Triforce has more green than you do. We've got all the riches to buy you a clue. You know who we are and how much we spend. You gotta have the dough if you want to be our friend.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Benjamin Bear, who is often a dividing character. He can be. I can't think of the right word.
Dick. He can be a dick. I feel like that's fair to say.
Well, it's interesting. He also posted a question on the Facebook forum. It doesn't make much sense to me, possibly to you. I might have to edit this out. Probably not. It just says, while driving, have you ever switched lanes?
Oh, absolutely. I switch lanes while driving all the time.
Makes no sense, but yeah.
It does. I did a song with Michael Cahill on his, I can't remember the name of which album. We did a song called Driving Switch Late, or it's called Driving, and I guess it's a cover or a remix of, like, an inspired by song of another artist I'm not familiar with. So Victor Bear was involved in that. So that was what that is on. So it's a Michael Cahill reference, Tom Bean, I think, unless I'm completely wrong, which could, me and Benjamin Bear have since patched things up and have been cool for a while now.
So, oh, good. Well, maybe this will ignite another beef. Who knows?
Yeah. My misinterpretation of his Facebook inquiry. No, I hope that's a reference. Otherwise, Benjamin Bear is dope. He just released this, like, mega collection of, like, a billion beats for, like, $10. You can use these beats if you want, which, God, if I had that early on, I'd had, like, a million albums by now.
Well, let's move on to your next album, then, that came out, 2008, and it's Rolling Doubles.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that one compared to your previous releases?
So Rolling Doubles was really dope because I got to work like a ton with Tanner and a ton with Dr. Popular, or AKA Drown Radio. And it also, I guess based on tube technology and the fact that I'd met DJ John and MC Chris at their show in Seattle, and you know, I've been a big fan, I was vocal on their forums. I don't know. For whatever reason, DJ John reached out and said he'd be willing to remix my Play With Me song, and we put that on the Rolling Doubles album as well. So, I mean, it was a really, really cool song, and it was like one of my... It seems like it's... If people know me, it's because they know me from that album, more or less, especially for people who have been in the scene for, you know, at least a little while. If they have, either they haven't heard of me, which I, you know, I respect, or they know me from, you know, the collaborations I've done with their favorite artists. Like, maybe they only know me for Disaster with Frontalot. But they know any of my albums, it's that one, it seems to be, because people seem to dig it. I like it. I'm a big fan of it. I think there are some pretty fun songs on it. But working with Tanner and Doc Pop on it a lot was just really cool, because they outshine me frequently. Basically, to me, you are a wish still unfulfilled. I'm fragile like a tiny Mario against a bullet bill. Really must refrain, because hearing no one caused me pain. And to hear me stammer stutter must be driving you insane. Beautiful, intelligent, the woman that I dream about. Scared that if I told you, you would grab my heart and rip it out. Tell me, you're screaming, why don't you come on out for a BB? We can play all through the night on PS2 or Xbox Live. Don't be shy, I'm running. Don't you know that I love RPGs? And I grew up on Nintendo, shut up, Pac-Man and Mario.
Well, it just so happens that I've got a question from Doc Pop, who asked... Who would you say is the sexiest stroke most charming producer you've ever worked with? And it says be specific and list reasons.
Okay, so it's without question Dr. Popular. He I sound hipster, and I make him sound like an asshole when I say it, but before I ever understood the concept of a hipster, Dr. Popular was already past that. Like, he is he's the coolest dude you will ever meet in the history of your world, at least circa 1999, 2010, when I got to hang out with him. He is so at home wherever he's at. San Francisco is his... He gets to, like, the first thing... One of the cool things he was doing when I first met him was he goes to this the center where kids go, and they help write a story with a storyteller. And meanwhile, while the kids are telling the story, he paints these... the story, he illustrates the story while they're telling it, so at the very end they're able to take home a book of the story that they wrote. And that's just something he did for fun. Like, this is, he circuit bent, he would take old electronics and just get the sound and make that a beat, and that I'd never heard of that before in my life. And he would just, no problem, just do whatever. He was crafty. He made iPad cases out of old jeans that went over real well. And now he's a video game... He works for a video game company and makes songs and does art for that now. So he is a jack of all... He's my favorite person. He's the most fascinating character that has ever been in nerdcore, as far as I'm concerned.
He certainly is fascinating. I only follow him on social media. I wrote a quick review of his last release, which, yeah, he straight away got in touch saying thanks for the write-up. That's really, really kind, really nice. You know, really humble guy.
Oh, yeah.
But just following him on social media is fascinating. He's a yo-yo champion.
Yes, I forgot about that.
He's taken up skateboarding in his 30s. Yeah, it's like, yeah,
he's pioneering this new way of like messing with and basically circuit bending apps where you can mix all their things together to make these really trippy but beautiful, you know, video collages. And he's the most entertaining, fascinating thing in the world. The more we talk about it. And he knows where to find a good cheese curd anywhere in America.
And, well, it's a useful skill to have.
You know, I'm totally down with the rap music.
Now come on, you nerds.
What do you know about nerdcore? I came in so hard that I kicked in the front door. Harder than the outer shell of Emma Frost. I'm simple and pretentious just like Macintosh. I'm fat, can't dance, but I got good rhythm. Math says I own, just check the algorithm. These days, every single movie is lame. Oh my god, look out, there's snakes on the plane. I'll read Black Cat, spit out a monologue, then watch The Strike Back of Jay and Silent Bob. In my room alone, I'm known to shuffle my feet, listening to Shell Riley and Leek Geek Beat. If you like watching porn, then throw up the horns. Like I need an excuse to throw up the horns. Just practice what you preach and you better believe it. You can't rap nerdcore, you gotta live it and breathe it. Name is Beefy, come from a place called K-E-N-N-E-W-I-C-K. Hey, move to Pasco, and now I'm the man causing a fiasco. And I'll drink a whole freaking tub of Tabasco just to prove that I'm the man, yo.
of my early songs was Tub of Tabasco, which got me real hyped because it was on Rolling one of the Grime Torrents albums, I think. And he did that, and we've been milking that. I've been milking that on him for so long. I performed that for so many years, so that I just want a dog pop near me, and I still want to do dog pop songs all the time.
Well, it can happen. It can happen.
Yeah, it will.
Let's talking of Rhyme Torrents, which obviously became No Core now, which is pretty much dead, but resurrecting the VPC this year.
Yes.
The Vocalist Producer Challenge. Any plans to take part in that?
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Very coy, very coy.
Perhaps. There is something I must do as soon as I get, you know, when you need that time alone to produce something of excellent quality, but there'd be people all up in your grill all the day. So I have to wait for that perfect moment, and then I can make something happen and then announce my plans, should there be any.
Wow. Okay, that's quite a teaser.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
I think everyone will be now. So let's move forward into your, I think, possibly your next release, maybe. It's been a little bit of a gap.
And listen to others. Even
between Rolling Doubles, and then you had The Adventures of Beef Thompson, Vampire Hunter. Is it really that long between releases?
Yeah, which one? I think Rolling Doubles and then Vampire Hunter. Yeah, I think.
Oh.
I did some EPs. I don't know.
You had the Bowling for Shiva. Which threw me out when I was I played the track on the, what used to be the Unheard Nerd podcast, the mixtape, and I had no idea how to pronounce that, because again, it's something that doesn't translate to the UK.
Bowling for Shiva, right? Yeah,
we don't get that show. If it's a show, it's a show. Yes. Isn't it?
Yeah, I did. It was for a very, very specific audience.
But I still enjoyed it. I still found plenty to get gain from that. I didn't get any of the references.
So yeah, we made Bowling for Shiva. Basically, I really wanted to work with Rusty. Rusty Shackles is an artist. He did the cover art. He's worked with everyone in her core pretty much. He did the VPC album cover, Adam Warrock, Michael Cahill, all these guys.
Tribe One.
Oh my God, Tribe One. I try not to think of Tribe One because he's so talented and it makes me angry.
I got to meet him a few months ago.
He was
in the UK with Malibu Shark Attack, and
then it's not even fair. I'm just jealous and impressed at the same time by, because I got to meet him when it was in October or whatever. He was rolling with Schaefer and Adam. Well, I mean, and Eugene, and he so humble, so nice, so awesome. Doing, you know, his wife's got his back, and he's doing his, you know, living that dream, and he's crazy talented. Right around that time, he released that Marvel A through Z song, which is just, he's just like, hey guys, check this, I'm gonna just shit all over you, just shit on the entire, it's like, just for fun, just for lols.
Yeah, really, really lovely guy. I met him, he was supporting MC Lars, and I just met him in a bar. I was the first one in the bar, because the bar was real close to where I work.
Oh, right on. And you're a huge nerd. It's okay. It's all right. You were just super excited.
Well, it didn't make sense for me to travel from North London to South London and back again to go to
That's
the gig.
Too much London in between.
It's too many trains. So I just went there, grabbed a beer. They were still sound checking. I don't know how I lasted the night, because I should have been real drunk before they started. But he came up, and he's huge. You're a huge guy, and just gave me a huge hug. I've never met him before. Gave me a huge hug. I bought him a beer. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh man, that's, yeah. I forgot that he was big, though. I forget. I'm pretty big, and I don't recognize it.
What?
Other times. Except for Steve Perry of Death Star. I don't know if you've ever. He doesn't go to England, from what I know.
No, he doesn't.
He's the tallest thing in the world, and he's menacing.
Anyway,
but I'm sorry. I derailed it. Right.
We were talking about the league, and you're going to explain a little bit about what that is to me.
So the League is a television show on a network over here called FX. It's like a sister network of Fox Network. And they produce an entire show about these guys who play fantasy football. And I don't know if they have fantasy football for your football.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's huge. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So this is, I mean, it's so huge here that it endorsed its own TV show that is friggin' hilarious. I love it. And it's not just about fantasy football. It's about these guys that happen to be in this league. And if nothing else, some episodes, that's their only excuse for being together. But really funny characters, really funny setup, and really influenced a lot of me because, you know, I'm one of those oddities that I love sports as a nerd. That's one of the things I nerd out about. I love my home teams. I love football in general. I love playing fantasy. I love just watching ESPN and geeking out about some of this stuff. And, you know, I used to play sports when I was a kid before, you know, I realized, oh, these guys are being dicks to these other guys. I'm still going to hang out with these other guys because these guys also have computers and games and animation and things I like.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm super into it. And I wanted an excuse to kind of like throw it in there and like to make songs about it because it influences me. But, you know, our genre is not really, I didn't really think it fit in there, but we wanted to do something really specific. Rusty was like, I want to do this. That sounds like it'd be cool. What if I talk to some of these producer guys I know and we get some beats? And he made the cover and I thought it was dope. And it's, you know, complete reference to the show because they all go for the Shiva Cup and the Shiva Bowl. And it's the Shiva and it's their trophy. And it's iconic throughout the show. And we just really wanted to and just goof on, you know, football and relationships with and related to these characters. And it's just really, really fun to just screw around with.
Yeah, and I also am one of those oddities that enjoy sports too. I was always the guy in the middle at school. I wasn't cool enough to really hang with the cool kids, and I wasn't quite nerdy enough to hang with the nerdy kids all the time. I was always somewhere in the middle, so I tended to float between the two. Right. But I was super excited today. My season ticket for, you know, proper football arrived.
Proper football. I'm American. We stopped caring about football a month ago. All right.
Proper
football. Our football is about to start and just dominate all of our shit. So
we use our feet though. That's the difference. So
did we. And then we used their heads and their hands and all the rest of the body part too.
Okay. I don't want this to be the first show I fall out with the guests.
Shots fired.
So let's move away from sports. Let's put our
Rooney ain't shit. All right. I'm sorry. No more shots.
Let's put our respective balls down and move on. So we had the further adventures of Beef Thompson. I mean, is that something that you move towards, the adventures of Beef Thompson? Is that the name you give it to your EPs rather than to your albums? Or
that's what I've been doing recently. I like the organization for whatever reason. I did it. I had drawn this little picture of me looking like a private dick, and right around the time I don't remember why it was, or I wanted to be on some website and you needed to put an album as opposed to just uncollected songs. I can't remember why I made EPs, but I wanted to give away for free and have it, wanted under it, and we just made a joke, the Adventures of Beef Thompson, Private Dick. We wanted to, I think at the time, make like a web short or something with me, and I was too lazy or something. I don't remember. Mm. But I had a lot of motivational issues as a youth. But yeah, and that just kind of stuck, and I wanted to release, I don't know if I had to release Rolling Doubles yet or Tape Tube Technology, but I wanted to release something else just for free of all the free songs I've either done out or I just put out for free or whatever. So The Adventures of Beef Thompson in Space was the next logical progression. Mm. And then, so it just kind of, it's just easy. I can remember it. And since, I mean, Bowling for Shiva is the only kind of contradictory release to that, only because it was so specific to... Mm. To a show in the genre of nerd.
Yeah, and so we ended up with the Check Your Local Listings, which you know, plays heavily on the Netflix logo there.
Oh, yeah. Well, their old logo now.
Oh, has it changed?
They changed it now. It's all white background, red text, very sharp, but completely not the iconic look of the envelope and all that shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. We really have two choices here in the UK. You have Amazon Prime, which used to be Love Films, now Amazon Prime, and Netflix, and we've kind of got the Amazon Prime thing.
So, Amazon Prime is dope. I just, I mean, they have all the other shows I like. I don't like the way that their stuff works, at least on my Roku. I mean, at this point, I mean, I have Prime, I have Netflix, I don't have Hulu, but I mean, it's an option, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can bounce between all of them, and then, of course, from time to time, there's a release that maybe isn't streaming as soon as I want. Maybe I don't have the cash up front to pay for that episode. So I'll download some things.
Really?
Well, I mean, I don't want to come out and say it like that because Comcast is listening. but yeah, from time to time, an episode or two has found its way onto my Plex. So Yeah, I mean, I'm very influenced by that, especially while making this album. Very, very Netflix heavy.
Yeah, and so it's really a tribute to what your favorite programs on telly, or just programs you enjoy. What was the thinking behind Check Your Local Listings?
Well, I wanted to do some things kind of influenced by either shows I've enjoyed in the past and just iconic kind of things that some of us, at least in America, have watched forever. And so, I mean, it's just six songs on the download. And it kind of started out, I have a song called Ruining My Life that is basically about that effect of having too much Netflix and kind of having like a second relationship with it, and the things that you'll go through to marathon an episode, to marathon a season of something, just because, man, I can't not watch the next episode. They refuse to not end on cliffhangers. So, I mean, and you kind of have to do that. So, you know, so did some stuff like that. Did a song about the TV show Dexter with the theme song for Dexter's Laboratory, which was big when I was a kid. And same with Doug and Hey Arnold.
The Dexter one came out really well. That's I think, probably my favorite track off the release.
That was one of the only songs I've ever made that was like, you're clever, Beefy. Good job. Pat yourself on the head and move on, but good job.
For a train and regretting all the casualties. I'm doing science, so stay out of my lab, yeah. Plastics everywhere, there's never a path. It's splatter analyses, understand the properties. Fighting for a train and regretting all the casualties. I put my brother on ice like his namesake, and added cuts like a veteran DJ's mixtape. I live my life by a code, but it's shaky. Have a baby with a lady, but not even she could ever save me. And in the end, I couldn't save her. Now every day I call my sis and ask for favors. And if you ever see my name up in the paper, know that I was only trying to make the world a little better.
And with these releases, you've built up a bit of momentum. You've had at least a release a year for the last few years. And then this year we've got something quite big coming out. Something that sort of shows a real maturity, if you will.
Right.
Your new album called Grown Up.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I mean, fairly self-explanatory title. And for anyone that hasn't been fortunate enough to hear it, it seems like quite a few people have had early releases and they were very keen to brag about it on the Facebook.
Right. I love that, too. It's so cool. Like, and I feel bad because I don't exactly run everything by Mustin before I'm just kind of like, you know, hey, you at this podcast, and you know, oh, you did this for us before, thank you so much, you know, here's this. I'm just kind of like, you know, throwing it out to a few people, and then, but I love it because everyone's so excited to say on Facebook, like, BB's album's fucking awesome, the hype train is moving. I'm just afraid I'm gonna get this angry call from Mustin, like, what the hell, what are you doing, like, these are sales, Beefy, what's wrong with you?
Well, yeah, exactly. I have a question from Mustin.
Oh no.
It simply says ask about the new album, which is exactly what I'm doing. Also, where's the money?
Motherfucking movie check.
So who is Mustin? Tell us about Mustin.
Mustin is one of the main producers of the 1UPs. They're a video game music band who performs, you know, all across America, and I don't know everywhere they've gone. I don't know his full history, but he's huge in the video game music scene and covers, and kind of does like these jazzy, loungy, kind of instrumentally full band just renditions of some of your favorite stuff. Like, one of my favorite things he does, and it seems boring, but it's like the Wii menu music, the dun 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 dun. Like, they do an arrangement of that I heard live, and it was just, I loved it. Like, I was absolutely just, he's full band and they're so talented. So I met him at one of these Penny Arcade Expos, like, I think a bunch of years ago, my friend Bethany, and kind of hooked up. We started talking, made some songs, and we worked a lot together on With Sprinkles, and he's got a good vibe. We, oddly enough, you and me were talking about how we both have a six-year-old born very similar dates. Mustin also, I mean, he's in the same situation as me. He's married to this woman who already had a kid, but he's been in there since it was a baby, like I was. And, you know, they're working and trying to do art things, but wanted to be supportive at the same time. So working all the time. And it's so weird. And so we just had this really, really weird connection, even though he's all the way on the opposite side of the country. And so I thought he was cool. His music is really great. He made one of my most popular songs now called Game Store Girl. That's on With Sprinkles. That was just, you know, people seem to really, really enjoy. And He's just a great guy to work with, and he's super crazy talented. So we've been working on this for a while. It started off as an album about just using movie references or movie song track beats, you know, influenced beats and stuff like that. And we worked with some of that, and at some point Mustin was just like, hey man, you're not being serious about this, you know, are we gonna do this or not? I'm like, no man, I'm born ready. And he had these demos ready to go, and just had these things like, here's what I've been working on, you know, what can you do with these? And I turned over some demos like real fast. The time between demos and final release has been a lot longer than I would have liked between my working and his working, but
come on, spill the
finally
beans.
Done with it.
How long has it been?
Oh shit, dude, we actually oh man, he actually went back and looked at the emails, and I, for the proposed little like liner note ish kind of thing I want to do, I used it in there. October of 2012 was when he emailed me and said, let's get real, Beef. And I was like, bitch, I was born real. And then that was the first start of our, let's move forward with Grown Up. Let's do this. Let's hear some tracks. Let's do this. He did some remixes. We're doing a bunch of fun stuff. And it's just super exciting. But yeah, it's been in the works for a little while. I think I've had the verses from Random and Lars for maybe a year.
Christ.
Man, like, yeah, it's those guys. And you know, Random, he's made like 7 albums since he recorded this. I don't know if he'll even recognize. Adam Warrock heard the track and he was like, oh man, I forgot I was even on this song. I forgot we even did. I don't remember my own words. I was like, this has been so long. And I was like, I know, I'm sorry, but it's still fire. So you're good. You're covered. You're safe.
So yeah, I mean, first thing I have to say about the album is, fantastic cover. Who came up with the cover?
I think it's Kubosh. Yeah, Kubosh, he did the art for it. He's a friend of Mustin's. He is also, well, he plays piano and does other things, but Mustin was kind of like, you know, hey, I'm making this album, you know, get this photo. We got from Jeffrey Douglas. He took photos while I was at Nerdapalooza last year, and you know, he took some really, really cool photos, and I sent Mustin a bunch of different ones, and that was when he chose, and we talked to Jeff, and he was like, hey, are you cool if I make this my album cover? And he's a fan of Nerdcore, and he was like, yeah, of course, yes, please. And I was like, thank you so, so very much. So we did that, and I feel this the biggest shame of this album, because for every album, I have to have a little shame about something I must have done. So the shame that I had for this was that I have an alternate album cover illustrated by Thor Tholvald. I can never say his name. His name is Thor, and that's all that really matters about him, because his name is Thor Thorvaldsen, and he has Thor in his name twice, which makes him better than most people.
Wow.
And he's done a lot of work with Megaran, and does a lot of video game art, but he made a really dope cover of me in like this cubicle with all these like office work references, all these references spilled out throughout the, based on the album or my own life, or super great album, like really kind of harkening back to all my other albums with, you know, Tube Technology with Sprinkles and Rolling Doubles, all being done by, you know, Joe Dunn and Brandon J. Carr, and really, really, really cool and detailed work. And then I had this other one, but then me must have been like, hey man, this is album's a little more, you know, it's grown up, we're a little trying to be a little more sophisticated, maybe we should try something a little different. And I was like, but I like cartoons. So my shame is that I was like, you know, Thor, is it okay if, you know, I just use this as an alternate? I'd love it, you know, but I got fired from the job that I worked at the cubicle, and it sucks so bad. And every time I see it now, like, I love it, it's great art, but it makes me think of that job that fired me, that makes me hate them. So it's really, I don't want to like be promoting it all day and all everything, but I still want to make it available for people who are like, I hate that, I want cartoons. So we're gonna make it available, but Kubosh did the album with, you know, it's me rocking it, Jeffrey Douglas did the photo, but we also have one from Thor that is also gonna be available, that's also cool, and as soon as it's released, I want to be able to pimp that to the world.
Cool. Well, yeah, as I say, great artwork. I really, really like it, and I think it fits with the theme of the album, and you know, the title, Grown Up. It just looks like a far more accomplished album just from the cover.
Pro.
It does. Right? It looks good. So
plus, and Mustin snuck his little logo in there on the top, which I love so much, because he's such. I mean, I've never done an album with just one dude, because I'm a friendly guy. I got a lot of good friends who are crazy talented, and I like to pull from all of them and make like a family when it's an album. But this is just him and me, and I've never done that before, really, like, on this scale. And I felt like, you know, hey, if this sucks, I want you on the cover with me so that, you know, people know it was your fault too. So, but he included his logo on there for the M with the levels on it, and I think it's crazy dope. And he completed, the dude did the album art in like no time. I don't know how technical this is, I'm not a designer, but it looks cool and I love it. And
yeah,
you know, I want it to be on a poster in my wall, but that's a bit conceited, a bit greedy. Maybe in the foyer, maybe.
why not So the album itself, you certainly start strong. As you mentioned, you had verses from Mega Ran and MC Lars, and that forms track one, which is called Hacks.
Yeah,
that's a strong start coming out with the big guns. Any reservations about doing that, or did it just feel right?
No, I felt so right. I knew it felt right as soon as I heard that beat, because Mustn had this, you know, package of I think it was like 9 or 10 beats, I think, at that point. And that was the first one I heard that, because I don't know if he said I could use all of them yet. He was like, these are what I have. But I jumped on all of them and like put verses into demos for each and every single one of them. At least like a chorus and a verse, or maybe just a verse, or at least the chorus that, you know, trying to make it catchy or whatever. I had these beats. So Hacks was the first one that I knew I wanted to do. And when I was doing it, I thought, this is, I think, one of my favorite beats on it. I want to talk to Ran and I want to talk to Lars. I hadn't worked with him on the last album. I worked with Lars, but that wasn't originally intended to be on the last album, the Uncanny song we did. We just threw it on there last minute, but I wanted to get him on something a little bit more fun, a little more substance, you know, than just rapping about X-Men. And Ran is so cool. Like, I thought, you know, I worked with him on some stuff. He's done stuff with me. I met him at shows. He's so nice. You know, why not try? And he jumped all over it. He's super great. I don't know how Mega Ran stays. So him and Lars, they both jumped on it and did it like in record time. And I don't know how they stay so friendly and professional without it ever crossing and being rude and still being able to do all those things that they do at the same time. Like, I don't get it.
Nothing but love for both of them. I see Lars maybe once a year, every year, because he's over here. Like clockwork every May. like I say, saw him with Tribe One supporting Malibu Shark Attack earlier in the year, and it's like he walks into the bar and he's like, I know you, I've got a t-shirt for you, come and find me. It's just like, wow, I see you once a year. So he always remembers. And
sweetheart.
Yeah,
I don't know, I can't think of a bigger sweetheart in, I want to say the scene, I know, but I think the world is what I'm looking for.
The thing is, everyone I've met from the scene has been super friendly, really kind, you know, humble. Okay. I've not met a dick at all yet. And yeah, I know I'm a bit far removed. Clearly. <Yeah. laughs> I know I'm a bit far removed, and yeah, I really take what I can get from whoever comes to the UK. But you know, I've met a few now, and I met Mega Ran briefly before. I'm hooking up with him next month for an interview while he's over here, and I can't wait.
Exciting.
Yeah, really, really exciting.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, and this is a bit controversial, not actually that much of a fan of Mega Ran's recorded music, but live, unbelievable. Oh. Just unbelievable.
I can't disagree with you to say that he's the one of the best. He's the most amazing live performer. I don't know. He's so great live. His live show is so fun and so, you know, personal and spontaneous, but so good and well performed.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky enough to see it a couple times. And I have to agree with that. I mean, I love some of his recordings. A good chunk of them. But it is hard to argue that he's not better live. And I feel the same way about myself, because I hate everything I recorded. I'm way better live. But it's hard to disagree with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I personally prefer his collaborations than, you know, his own, but like solo material. But that's just personal preference. I mean, he's hugely popular, and I'm probably wrong. So, you know.
Yes, yeah, totally wrong. Absolutely. But, you know.
Anyway.
We'll chalk that one up, and, you know, we'll move on this time.
I'll be a bit embarrassed for a little while, but, yeah, that's fine.
You recover well.
I can always edit this out. I'm not going to do that.
Girls know we got what they husbands lack. Must be that. Don't be silly. We don't call it bomb threats. We rig up your system and win all contests. Black hatted on fraternized with rap rappers. Meet beef and lost the rap hackers, for that matter. Flip scripts like bad actors. Ran used royalty checks to back crackers. but only if it starts with a YTT. Mega and the DGs beside me, and since 9-3, got up and yell like IVs, float high speed, bog down your live feed. Running last round, cats, we got a fine lead. Used to want to catch me, now they want to hire me.
Oh my word, man, it must be hacks. How is these guys be on tracks like that? Yo, cheat code rappers, it's a disaster. Tracking like a torrent, I'm a real life hacker.
Back to your album, though. Let's talk about this. And track two is the title track, Grown Up. And what really comes across from the whole album is a sense of contentment and contentment with your family situation, your family life. I mean, you reference, I'm not sure if it's her real name. I doubt it. But Nugget, your right. little girl. I'm sure that's a nickname, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, that's a mean name otherwise.
Well, I'm Beefy, obviously, and then we had a roommate at the time named Tuna. And Shandra's nickname at the time was Bean, so she needed to be a tiny little meat substance.
Ah, I see.
We got McNuggets over here.
Well, she's a cute kid. I follow you on Instagram, and it's just very, very, as I say, where I can relate entirely.
She is a princess,
right? My eldest girl is, as used to be said, the same age, blonde curly hair. I mean,
oh man,
yeah. So
so whipped, dude. I'm so little finger style, like I'm strung along. I'm so strung along, and if there's contentment, that's why, because I'm so I'm so whipped by my own desire, because I feel there's two parts of me. There's the part that wants to go out and wants to do these shows and wants to make these music and wants to live that life that I'm not looking to be a rock star. I'm not looking for shows. I'm looking to hop on hotels, just go to your city and do my thing and share a fun, enjoyable time with you, and hopefully make a memory that you won't soon forget. And like the first time you see Beefy, yeah, everyone remembers the first time they saw one of their favorite artists, or even the first time they saw that artist that was kind of cool, or, oh, I didn't really like him, but, he was kind of cool there, or he said this funny joke, whatever. Yeah. Like, I there's that part of me that wants to do that, but there's that other part of me, and that I didn't, when I was making these other EPs, and I was making Rolling Doubles and Whisprinkles, right around the time I was making Whisprinkles, I didn't realize how much I liked being this husband, or at the time, boyfriend or fiancé, being this father figure and really, really enjoying kids, because before this, I wasn't particularly a fan of kids, I would say. Like, I don't want to be a dad. Like, that'd be freaking terrible. Kids are terrible. They're noisy. They smell. Why would you want that extra responsibility? I'm just going to do my thing. And that Beefy was definitely not ready for this. But I jumped into this thing with both feet, and I really, really dig it. And I don't understand why. I don't know what it is about me that says, hey man, I could, dump this girl and not have this kid in my life. I'm not her father. I, when she was, 6 months or a year old, like, you can just go, she won't remember you, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But there's just this thing that I felt, and I fell for her. And, turns out I just love my wife, and I love her so much. And so I do these things, but there's that part of you that wants to go out and show the world. And you feel, you get emails and Facebook messages from fans saying, hey, when are you going to come out here? Why don't you come out here? When is this going to happen? And you want to, there's that part of you that wants to feed that and do those things and feel resentful and guilty when you can't. And so that part kind of lingers in the song. And that's where I complain, because in my day to day, I'm not saying, baby, I could have been out here. If we didn't have to have, if you weren't going to school, or if I didn't have to work, or all these other things. But it's, it's good to get off your chest in this kind of atmosphere. Maybe, I think so anyway, because I know I love my wife. I know I love being this family figure. If I put it out there and it comes off as being like contemptuous, then I guess that's partly true, because obviously the songs talk about all the things I used to be able to do and now how I can't. But you'll understand one day when, maybe you're a parent, or obviously you understand, but some other people might understand when, if they become parents, or they remember those times when they had the kid that was throwing up and it was terrible, and you get so proud of them just for other kids do it. It's the dumbest thing in the world, but your kid doesn't. It's like, oh man, because part of that is you, and that's that's coming. You're coming out through these actions that these kids are taking, and there's a weird kind of joy and pride that you're helping create, not just music, but you're helping create this person. And that's really satisfying to me for some reason. So, it's like a big choice I made, but I really love it. But I, there's still that, there's always going to be that part of me that needs to be the performer.
Mm, yeah. And so over the 12 tracks, your family life and the kid come up a few times throughout, but there are other subjects as well. The single you released, the Game of Thrones inspired track Hear Me Roar is on there, which people will be familiar with. And let's talk a little bit about the other featured artists on there. We've got Tyler Deshay.
Tyler Deshay is dope. I don't know the whole backstory, but it is okay. This part might not be right. I don't remember if it's Mustin's wife or girlfriend, or if it's none of those things. No, it's Mustin's wife. I'm gonna say it's Mustin's wife. I just don't know if that's supposed to be a thing. So Tyler Deshay, she is just, you know, she's very talented, and there's things I wanted to do on the tracks that she was on with me on Holiday and Girl Meets Doctor, where there was these parts that needed something, and it wasn't something that would fit Shel Riley, and it wasn't something that would fit some of the people I've already worked with, because I don't know, like Kyle Stevens from Kirby Crackle is really only one of the other singers I've worked with or I know or that I'm in contact with comfortable enough to be like, hey, want to jump on to some bits on my song and really sexy it up. But Mustin was like, no man, I got you covered. And she came in, and she didn't come in until late in the process, and I was really worried because my bits were terrible, and that's all I'd heard them with, and it just really dragged those songs down. Like, I don't know, man, the song is good. Like, Holiday's all right, but there's that whole empty bridge bit that, you know, is just eh. But she came in, did some fun things, inspired me to redo some of my bits, and some of those were some of those the last bits that I recorded on my end, and I think it came together pretty, pretty sweet. She was really big contribution, I think, to those songs.
Given a different dynamic. And she's in two songs, Girl Meets Doctor and Holiday, as you've mentioned. You've also got people you've already collaborated with, former Fat Boys.
Yeah.
And somebody I think we're both a big fan of, Wheelie Cyberman.
Wheelie Cyberman is the dopest person in the history of the world.
And
that might not be true, but he's a great rapper.
Well, that track, Rock'em Sock'em, is immense. And I think people are going to really, really enjoy that.
Oh, no, I feel bad because already, like, the album hasn't come out. Some people have had the secret, you know, release for a couple days now.
Mm.
But it's already being referred to as the Wheelie song. And I feel so bad because all the references I see on it, like, I think you're might the first one that even mentions former Fat Boys, who closed out the track so beautifully and so with so much fun. And with so much vigor that I feel like he's been going understated because Wheelie just brings it so hard and so amazingly right up front.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a very solid performer for a long time, you know, from Optimus Rhyme and through, you know, Super Commuter. I just say he's such a strong presence without ever really being in anyone's face.
Right?
Yeah. How does that happen?
Sheer talent, really, because they don't really promote that much. They play a show a year at PAX because those guys are just giant fans of the music they've made since Optimus Rhyme. Mm. They've done one big tour. They used to do shows all the time in the day in Seattle, but since Super Commuter, you know, just stays low key, doesn't do much, you know, just, you know, he's living real life. He works for Nintendo. He's doing his, you know, he's living the grown up life too. You know, he's doing his thing, but. You know, works time to time with Super Commuter, and he asked me to do a song with him and asked me to jump on a song with him in front. And, you know, if you ask me to do anything for you, that gives me carte blanche to now demand that you give me a verse. And when I started writing the song, because it's such a, you know, such a fast little beat and real quick, it reminded me of, you know, obviously not the guitars of Power Thighs, but just of, you know, that kind of tempo really reminded me of Wheelie's kind of thing. And that's kind of how I went into the headspace of when I wrote my verse for it, just kind of thinking, like, how would Wheelie go about doing it? Without ever thinking in a million years that I would ask him, let alone he would say yes. I'd ask somebody else, and, you know, at the time they didn't have time. Little did they know that they would have had a year deadline, they'd still be fine. But Ben, I think, was the first person ever to get us the verse back. So he could have had larynx surgery in the last year and a half, and his new album's coming out now, so cool. But... that was weird.
Other guests coming later on Monster. We've got Michael Kill and we've got Adam Warrock. There's always a good combination.
That's cheating. I cheated on that one.
Really?
I feel like I phoned that one in. I was like, what two guys do I really want to work with? Cahill and Warrock. They've done a million songs together. They sound really good together. All right, easy money. That's free. That's a freebie. I feel bad because they work together on time. I don't want to lump them together, typecast them that they have to work together. But yeah. I really thought they'd be fun on this song about monsters.
Yeah, I don't think they would mind.
I hope not. I think they both sound amazing on it.
Absolutely.
And, I'm biased.
Yeah, so I've listened to the album through maybe 2-3 times so far. I still need a few more listens to fully digest, and I'll be popping up my review on the website as and when.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, how do you feel? You know, you're releasing an album in the same month as Front a Lot, and one of the newer guys, 1UP, is putting out his new album as well about the same time. And then there's the guy.
Chipzilla.
Yeah, yeah.
They're coming out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. There's another album, another guest I've got coming up on the podcast is Uncommon NASA from New York City with his. He's got an album coming out, very progressive hip hop, but still with a nerdy vibe. So there's a lot of music coming out in August.
Yeah.
Busy time. How did you pick August?
We finally finished, and I don't care if MC Chris Lars and Front got together and were whitey crackering it up with YouTube at the same time, trying multicasting the biggest nerd event in the history of the world. I would release it as soon as we can because we're finally done. So finally done. I not have a tour plan. I'm not pressing albums to go do a bunch of like making merch up so that I can go on the road and sell a bunch of stuff and hype train, dude. I'm making this album. I'm excited. I want to get it out there. I just want people to be happy and like, man, guys, I made some new music. I'm really excited about it. Please listen to it because it'd make me happy. Like, if I make a couple bucks, sweet. If I don't, that's totally good. You know, if it's on Pirate Bay, I mean, Must is probably not gonna be happy about it. I'm saying these things, but for real, I'm just so excited to have it out. You know, I don't want to do it on the same day as Front. You know, he's gonna go to Penny Arcade Expo and rock it in front of a bunch of 1,000 people and then, you know, have a whole con to, you know, pivot to his people. So I don't feel like he'd be really worried about me, and I'm not really worried about him because, I mean, you're going to buy Front a Lot's album. That's just going to happen eventually. Either you buy it online or you're going to buy it at the show he's doing at your town. One way or another, you're going to buy his album. If some people have some iTunes gift cards or have some extra money on Bandcamp and their PayPal that they forgot about, then sweet. Or they can just stream it on Bandcamp all day if they want. I'm just really excited to just finally have it out.
Yeah. And it'll be a paid for release?
This one's gonna get paid. You're gonna get some cash money. Yeah. But we're gonna do a pre thing, one of the pre sales, one of those kind of things, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a business person, but Mustin tells me it's amazing. So it's gonna be pre ordered. The album's gonna come out August 19th, and we're gonna do a pre order, I wanna say Tuesday. Obviously next Tuesday, but we're gonna pre-order where you get 3 of the tracks right away, and then you're gonna get a bonus remix song that Mustin did of my song Dork Date, which was kind of like my spiritual predecessor to the song I did called Holiday, that's on Grown Up. He did a cool mix remix of it, like he did with Ruining My Life and with Bestest, and so we're going, and that's gonna be just for people who like pre-order the album and decide they want it, and it's gonna be out for the world to digest should they choose.
Awesome.
It'll be like a buck cheaper if you pre-order it or whatever. So I'm not really looking to make $1 billion. Like I said, I'm not going on tour to like hype off this train, but it'd be cool. And I like having that studio album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Plus, yeah. I probably owe Mustin like $1 million by now. So, I mean, you know, he's due. So we're probably good. All the times I pimped Game Store Girl or used Geek Out throughout my life.
Yep.
I don't pay him royalties every time I perform it, I'll be honest. I'm gonna jump out there and say that right now.
Well, again, if you need to edit that, you've probably got about 24 hours before I start.
I'll keep that in mind.
Well, before we wrap up with the final few questions, I really want to talk about Grammar Club, the Grammar Club, because I think it was last year you brought out Bioavailable.
Yeah.
And hands down, my favorite release of the year. Absolutely adored it. So I mean, how did that come about? How did the Grammar Club come about? It's been around a while and in different variations, I believe.
Yeah, me and Shell are just always at the core of it, and that's, I mean, like I told you earlier, I met him on the MC Chris forums and shot some stuff back, and I was so, you know, eager to have someone who said that. Not only, you know, hey, I like your stuff, because either I got that from like my friends or family, or I got, you know, it's terrible, blah, blah, blah. I hadn't really gotten creative criticism because I didn't really know any musicians in my real life, and I was just online, and online is very sketchy. But here's this dude who has a background and has, you know, I trust it, and he's giving me this really good feedback and saying, you know, not just say, hey, that's all amazing. It's like, hey, you know, this isn't terrible. I mean, this is not obviously, it sounds like demo. You know, obviously you'd want to do this. He taught me how to do mixing, you know, basic mixing that I still do today when I'm making anything or putting stuff out that I do on my end. So, I mean, it was really there. And then, you know, one day he just started making these little beats and he would just, he wanted to make a chorus. And we'd done some songs for that Rhyme Torrance collection called Misinformation before we had like a name. And you know, it's a really terrible song. I hate it now, but at the time it was fun and it referenced the nerdcore genre of the time. But and that kind of snowballed, and he had a bunch of just beats with choruses on there, and I just started filling in just one verse at a time, and then he really liked it, and then it started building, and then he got DJ Snyder involved, or what do you even call him anymore? At the time it was DJ Snyder, so he got him involved, and he got Glenn Case involved in that first album, and I don't know, we had a lot of cool people. And then, oh, and Puse, who is our mysterious producer, who I never really talked to, like I talked to him a few times. And then he's just super amazing. He did these really great mixes and cuts of our first album. And then for our second album, he disappeared. Like, I don't know. I think he became like a real life video game guy. I don't know what happened to him.
Right.
So we recruited, you know, C64 from Dual Core. And he met Ty that he works with in Shell Riley and the Double Ice Backfire. And then they started working on the second. And then for this last one, it was just me, Shell, and Ty. And the formula is just Shell makes a rough chiptune beat, just using, you know, chiptune sounds and NES sounds mostly, or weird other effects. And then he has like a chorus or an idea, or he'll just do that hook. And then he'll send it to me and be like, I want to kind of, you know, this is about this. I'll talk to him about what his part meant. But at first I do a draft or where I just interpret what I think he's talking about. And then we just move on from there. And then I send him my stuff. He mixes it up. And then every time I send it to him with an NES beat, I'm always like, man, this doesn't sound as hot as some of our other songs. But then I forget him and Ty go in there. And then I think they do Dark Arts. They do Wizardry. I don't know how producers do anything. But then it turns into a completely different, way better, professional, crazy, amazing song. And then I get to reap all the rewards for being one of the songwriters on it. So it's... Yeah. It's the funnest group thing I get to do.
And anyone that hasn't checked out Bioavailable, firstly, you're an idiot. Secondly, get onto Bandcamp and thegrabberclub.bandcamp.com and grab it. Because guesting on this, 7 tracks, you've got MC Frontalot, Kabuto the Python, you've got Jesse Dangerously, Word Burglar, Adam Warrock, and Wheelie Cyberman. Yeah. And that's Beefy, Cheryl Riley. I mean...
Right. I mean, we called in literally every favor we had, and thanks to our previous releases, it wasn't that hard. Like, people were excited to work with us for whatever reason based on our stupid, dumb, pretty fun songs. And I don't know if they wanted to work with us or wanted to work with Shale, but either way, I'm taking it.
Absolutely, own that. Okay, right. Well, that's thanks for discussing the Grammar Club.
Absolutely.
Should we get to the final questions?
Absolutely.
I mean, again, we haven't had much time to put these together, so there's not many of them. But
it's all good.
Let's just click through a few. So we've got some familiar names. I've just at this point that we're recording, I just released the MC Frontalot interview, which is it's got a bit crazy. Over 6,000 listens in less than 24 hours.
Two of them were for me because I messed up the first time on my iPad.
It all helps. But also asking a question in that show and asking one for you is Teriyaki Dick Dastardly Tully, who asks, how long have you been rapping and are you a fan of Riff Raff?
I'm not familiar with Riff Raff, and if that's someone that I should be familiar with and I'm not, I feel bad.
Yeah, I don't have a clue either.
Oh, thank God. Because sometimes, like, I'll talk to Beaker, like, on Skype and stuff, because, you know, I hung out with him a lot, and we did music together and everything. And so I really talked to him, but he seems to have his finger on the pulse of pretty much what's going on in the scene these days. And he'll be like, oh, well, have you heard blah, blah, blah by blah, blah, blah? And I'll be like, who are these people anymore? Dude, there was, like, 16 people when I started. There's, like, 150,000 nerdcore rappers now. So I'm always afraid that it's going to be this guy I met or even I did a song with at one point, like, way back. And, like, Frankie Castle is going to come back up and have a new name and I'm not going to know who he is. And I'm going to offend somebody. But I don't know who Riff Raff is, but I started rapping when I was in middle school. What would that be? I was in my sixth year. So I was like 12, I guess. I don't know. I was young. That's when I started writing things down. I got expelled before I went to high school. I got expelled from eighth grade because Eminem, obviously very big at the time, to say he wasn't an influence on me would just make me a liar. Yeah. So Eminem, really, really big. Really liked those really violent songs because that's what was, you know, controversial, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make something that would last. So I made a song about how I was going to do all these crazy things to all my students, to all the other students and my friends, and, you know, beat this guy up and kill this dude and beat up this teacher is cheating on his wife, blah, blah. You can't, turns out in America, you can't do that after Columbine. So I had the paper and I wrote it out because I used to write all my rhymes out and put it under this history book that I thought was mine, but oh, this isn't my book. Better just leave it here. Forget about the paper underneath it. Get expelled from school in like the last 2 months of school. Wow. Yeah, it was the worst day. So hip hop almost ruined my education.
That's a hell of a story.
Thanks.
Put it on to a song. Justin Tool of the hugely talented Kudos the Kid, who do the theme tune for the podcast.
Ah, yes.
He said, do you prefer making music solo or with a group like the Crammer Club? And how do these processes differ?
Oh, I love making songs. If I can make a song with Shale, at least in Grammar Club style, then I prefer it. Anytime really that it's not in my hands, I'm a big fan, because I like to just contribute. I'm a rapper. That's the only thing I have going for me on this. Maybe I'm a personality, but that's all wrapped around being just a rapper. And so, you know, when it's up to me to kind of put out and produce and mix things, like, you know, I do a decent enough job because of, you know, I have a decent mic, I guess. My preamp sounds all right. Like, it doesn't sound like I'm on the Radio Shack mic anymore, but it's not as good. If I can work with somebody else who knows what they're doing, work with a good producer, work with someone like Mustin, work with someone like Shale and Ty and Tanner, you know, Doc Pop, these people who know what they're doing because they've been doing it for years, or they do it in a way that only they do it, especially with Doc Pop, then that's, I definitely prefer to work with other people and bounce ideas back when recording and stuff. When I'm writing, that's just all me. I don't freestyle. I'm one of those guys who goes to the show. No, I don't freestyle with all the other kids. I don't go on the Nerdcore webcams and freestyle. I'm just not, that's not my scene. That's not what I'm into. I'm not good like Ran. And if you can't be good like Ran, why even bother?
Yeah.
So I don't do that. And writing for me is very, very private. No one can be here. I have to listen to the beat over and over again, you know, finding your tone and your flow for it and everything like that. And I can't record in front of people. I've recorded in front of somebody once, twice now, actually. And both times were just weird. And it wasn't home, so it was different. So I definitely prefer to do that bit alone, recording and writing alone. Yeah. But the overall process as a team is amazing.
Yeah. Now you've done a little bit of work with the Crayon Droids recently. You did the song, was it I know fucking Kung Fu, was it?
I fucking know.
How dare me for getting that wrong. So we've had obviously Beaker, one half of Crayon Droids, with a statement rather than a question. We've got DJ Robo Rob now, and he asks, when did you realize you had the raw talent for country stardom?
Country stardom. Yeah, I'd probably be a pretty dope country star, if we're honest. Like, if he's talking about American country music.
I don't really know.
yeah, I don't know. I knew I had the chops. I mean, I have a personality since I was a kid that kind of dictated I needed attention. And this is the best way I found to release that. And it's something that stuck because I seem to be, if not good at it when I started, I've shown improvement, which is half the job of Nerdcore, is just, hey, at least show us that you're getting better and you're not just going to make these same crappy songs. So, you know, I feel like I'm helping, and that's all I knew. At least I maybe not a country star, but I knew I could be a Nerdcore star. I knew for sure.
Okay, next question is from Vince Eld, or Elder. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It says, do you have any hidden talents?
Do I have any hidden talents?
Yeah.
My wife says I'm great at making love, and that feels good. So, I mean, I'm not going to share that with anyone else.
Exactly. Keep that one hidden. That's fine.
That one's just for me and her to share. So, hidden talents for real, though? No. Man, I'm really good at parenting, I guess. I mean, she hasn't died yet, so I'm pretty all right at that. I fold a mean load of laundry, but I'm not the fastest at it. And I'm terrible at video games, like, I've started streaming a little bit of me playing like League of Legends and Hearthstone, and it's bad. It's just watching Beefy lose at things. So, not really. I'm really good at losing, is what I've learned. I'm really entertaining whilst losing.
And finally, it looks like Force of Will's doing the crosswords. He said, what's a 10-letter word for a gentlemanly goose? He says, oh, wait, never mind, I've got it. Propaganda.
Look at that. So clever. That feels like a British joke.
I appreciate it, yeah.
Right, exactly. See, right. That feels like a joke I would see in, like, you know, Doctor Who or Luther or something, as opposed to Big Bang Theory or something.
Indeed, indeed. They're all on strike anyway at the moment. So.
Are they? Who's on strike?
Big Bang.
Oh, who cares? That's not important to me. I mean, I watch... It's one of those shows, like, I'll watch, and I kind of, like, watch begrudgingly.
Yeah.
But I kind of watch it. But every time they actually make the nerd reference, I'm like, oh, God. Like, do the funny other bits and the canned laughter or whatever. But I don't know. It's one of those forces of nature in America, apparently.
Well, the train station I commute into is called St. Pancras. It's huge, huge international train station. You can literally get the train from England to Euro Disney, to like Disneyland Paris, from that station. And they have huge screens which show Sky News and snippets of... And it was up there, you know, today, this huge 8-foot by 6-foot screen. Big Bang Theory stars on strike.
Wow. Oh, more money, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many of them now, though. There's so many stars on that show.
It's clearly big news.
It's huge now. I'm way out of the loop. The only thing I've watched today is, I think, The Princess Twins, which is on Netflix, which is a very poorly animated 3D movie for princesses, I guess. And a bunch of a show on our PBS, our public broadcast station, Peg Plus Cat, where they learn about counting and shapes and numbers, but more grown up than just for babies, Beefy, for like big kids.
Of course.
Yeah.
Cool. Beefy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Where will people find your new album when it drops on the 19th of August?
19th of August, people will be able to find it at beefy.bandcamp.com, and hopefully they'll be able to find the pre-order on iTunes and Amazon.com and everywhere fine online music is available.
And where can people find you on the internet?
People can usually find me on beefiness.com and wonder, where did he go? He hasn't updated his blog in like months. I better check him out on Facebook. So they'll Google Beefy. Thankfully, I'm the first guy that comes up, not dudes kissing.
Okay, so it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's been a lot of fun. And we've gone on for longer than I expected.
Yeah.
Almost enough.
Let's just make this a regular thing. We don't need an interview. Let's just say what's up.
Indeed, yeah. Well, you're on my contacts now. Anytime.
Perfect.
Hit me up.
There you go.
Okay, well, take care. You can relieve the kid of boredom now. And
yes, she will be ever so relieved by that too. She hasn't been able to jump on me in at least an hour. So it's I'm due.
Absolutely, I'll let you get off. Thanks ever so much.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Everybody, welcome to the new stuff. Beef Thompson telling you I'm grown up. How I do it while I tell you, I just hit the little tiller in the middle for a minute and I hit another level. Yeah, yeah. Oh my god, it's been far too long. And I'm sorry for all that.
I feel like we should do it one more time. Just one more time.
Everybody, welcome to the brand new stuff. Beef Thompson telling you that I'm all grown up. How I do it, I just tell you, I just hit the little tilde in the middle for a minute and I hit another level. What? Beef be stylish, championship finalist. Yay. Approximately give as many shits as a nihilist. You tell a little tale how you're gonna take control, but I'm the one who broke the mold. You can hold all the fat jokes. Truth be told, I'm not much of a winner. Yo, I gotta make a buddy, had a song up on Sports Center. Don't forget it, chilling like Neil Everett. I'm a beauty at it, I'm getting hotter by the minute. Talent takes time, so I skip to the front. Yo, green, they get with jealousy, I'm leveling up. I roll up to your home and I make it explode. I walk away without a look because I'm living in God mode. The rap cat who looks good and fat, who always sounds so awesome on a mustard track. You kill it at a wedding when you're dressed in black, and you can be the Steve Jobs, I'll be the Wozniak Jack. Oh my word, man, it must be hacks. How else can these guys be on tracks like that? Yo, cheat code rappers, it's a disaster. Tracking like a torrent, I'm a real life hacker. Oh my word, man, it must be hacks. How else could these guys be on tracks so fat? Yo, cheat code rappers, it's a disaster. Tracking like a torrent, I'm a real life hacker.
Yo, it must be hacks. Spit it on the verse, then it must be fact. I'm quite correct on a mustard track. Girls know we got what they husbands lack. Must be that. Don't be silly, we don't call it bomb threats. We rig up your system and win all contests. Black hatted on fraternize with whack rappers. Me beef and laws the rap hackers. For that matter, flip scripts like bad actors. Ran used royalty checks to back crackers. but only if it starts with a YTT. Mega and the DGs beside me, and since 9-3, got up and yell like IVs, float high speed, bog down your live feed. When it last round cats, we got a fine lead. Used to wanna catch me, now they wanna hire me.
Oh my word, man, it must be hacks. How else could these guys be on tracks like that? Yo, cheat code rappers, it's a disaster. Tracking like a torrent, I'm a real life hacker. Oh my word, man, it must be hacks. How else could these guys be on tracks so fat? Yo, cheat code rappers, it's a disaster. Tracking like a torrent, I'm a real life hacker.
Hey yo, it's MC Lars here to advertise that I rap for food, and I'm still that guy. Playing weddings, bar mitzvahs, quinceañeras. Maybe they can warn ya, but no, they can't prepare ya. I'm so full of smiles that they call me Crest. Good morals in the mix, yo, cause they're the best. Are you feeling down? Well, here's a hack. A dribble PMA will put you back on track. That's a positive mental attitude. The acacia strain, I'm talking to you. Turn those frowns upside down, I see you at warp. Saying angry stuff like,
stop chasing your dreams.
Hey, John Wilkes Booth killed Abraham Lincoln. Why'd that dude kill Abraham Lincoln? Steven Spielberg, yo, you got me thinking that the world needs a hug and a tickle cause we're sinking. In desperation, please pass the rope. Tie it to a tree called hope. That's a visual metaphor for all the homies. Got more hacks on the mic than Oscar Mayer has baloney like what?
Oh my word, man, it must be hacks. How else could these guys be on tracks like that? Yo, cheat code rappers, it's a disaster. Tracking like a torrent, I'm a real life hacker. Oh my word, man, it must be hacks. How else could these guys be on tracks so fat? Yo, cheat code rappers, it's a disaster. Tracking like a torrent, I'm a real life hacker.
We I forgot, we need to address this faux beefy.
I forgot about faux beefy.
Brixton beefy. What?
Real quick. Time out. Real quick. I am so sorry. Layla, question time. Yep. So sorry.
Yes, darling.
Nothing. You came up here for nothing? I like your style. All right, I'm going to finish this talk. You can stand there. For like a little while, like 2 minutes maybe.
Two more minutes.
100,000 minutes? You don't have a concept of time yet, right?
I do.
How many seconds is a minute? I've been only here for like 3 minutes, so...
3 minutes is...
Okay, that's a lie. I've been here for about an hour and 22 minutes, but soon, it's the last thing. We have to talk about this guy who lives in England, and he is also named Beefy, and he's confusing people.
It's even longer.
All right, you got me. All right, but I'll be back. I have to talk about an impersonator.
It's even longer than...
a bunch of episodes of Ninja Turtles.
No, it's even longer than your game.
Okay, yeah, this is longer than a game of League. You're right. But I'll be there in a second, I promise. Go be entertained. You need a brother or sister so you can be less bored. No, you're good.
So on my Bands in Town feed, I keep getting updates from a picture of you coming up on Bands in Town. And it freaked me out the first time because it comes up Beefy.
Yeah, you and me both.
Beefy is playing at the Brixton Jam. Now, Brixton Jam is it's not a million miles away from me. Everybody knows Brixton Academy. Yeah, anybody who's ever listened to Public Enemy knows Brixton Academy. famous venue. But Brixton Jam is another venue in Brixton. And they have a lot of hip-hop acts. They have jungle nights, reggae nights, a lot of black-influenced music.
Right.
And this guy keeps popping up on my feed. Like, Beefy is playing Brixton Jam. And I virtually shit myself the first time thinking... Fuck, how did I miss this?
Is he on vacation or what's that? Why is he there?
Well, how did I miss this? How did I not know this was happening? And I've got other things I have to do that night. How am I going to get there? How am I going to get... And so obviously I hit you up on Twitter and it turns out it's not the real Beefy. It's Brixton Beefy. But for whatever reason, whoever's promoting the event or someone keeps tagging him in as you. And it's like every week or every 2 weeks... There you are.
Big things.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably on like one of those like sites that I've signed up for before, but he's not changing his name. He doesn't care whose picture shows up.
Clearly, but it's good promotion for you because at the moment you've got a residency at Brixton Jam.
Right. I feel like I'll be welcome there. Like if I'm like, hey, I'm gonna be in Brixton for whatever reason. Can I do your show? Yeah, man. We've been promoting you for years now. Hurry up.
Yeah, like you should have been here months ago.
So, yeah, where have you been? You owe us so much money. Ironically enough, like 8 years ago, a video was posted called Taz and Beefy and just Beefy of these dudes just beatboxing. And they're, I want to say British. I don't know what they are, if I'm honest. They're not American, that's all I know, and not Mexican, because that's my people. So they And they're just beatboxing. They're going, burr, 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 beefy, beefy, burr, 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 beefy. And just that over and over again and kind of looking like tripping on something. And it looks like the video might be older than 8 years ago, but just when it was uploaded. But someone is also named Beefy, possibly longer than I have been in Europe before me. So to say that I... And there's also this like thug rapper I noticed because my Spotify also shows me featuring on All Dem Bullets in the Brain or something like that, like Thug Rider Mixed 3 featuring Beefy. So there's also someone thugging out named Beefy out there using it. But I feel like at this point, I mean, let me double check. But if you type Beefy in Google, just Beefy, I'm pretty sure it's still just me. Yeah, beefiness.com, number one. So I still win.